Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. A 19-inning baseball game last night between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Won by Arizona. An important game for St. Louis as they are fending off Milwaukee for the division lead. 2.5 back. Milwaukee is with about 5 games left to play in the regular season. So it was an important game last night. But amazing how long that was. 7 hours of baseball last night. And the teams will have to play again coming up this afternoon. Again, we're hitting the stretch run. The Washington Nationals have made the playoffs. They were once a team in complete and utter disarray early in the season. Did not have a bullpen, couldn't hold leads. 19-31 at one point, it's been pointed out. And now they have made the wild card, making a late push. I love this time of year for all of the things that we get in sports, right? We're now reaching a point in college football where we're kind of done with the cupcakes. There'll be probably some in November before rivalry week, but we're done with those games. We're into conference play now as teams are going to start ratcheting up their positions in their own conferences and in their own divisions within the conference. We're getting to know teams in the NFL, how good they are, what they need to work on, how bad they are, and can they improve? We're getting to that point. We're reaching the point where October and baseball all come together. Plus, you know, the NBA starts, NHL starts, whatnot. But I think with baseball and football coming together, this time of the year feels great. I feel like baseball in particular, when they announced the wild card, I was like, all right, you're just going to go down the road like anybody else, right? The more playoffs, the better, right? But it has worked. I was very cynical of it when it first came out. I didn't kind of like it. I just didn't think it was necessary. But now I see the value of it. This is exciting. You allow more teams to participate in the enjoyment of this time of the year. If the St. Louis Cardinals had played Arizona, you know, in April and it went 19 innings, it would be, oh, it's a 19-inning game in April. But last night, the Cardinals needed to win. I mean, they didn't win, but they need to win to hold off Milwaukee. But imagine if it was Pittsburgh in Arizona and went 19 innings. It's almost like, gosh, it's just two teams closing out the season. But there is some value with these teams contending and putting themselves in position for an October run. I just think we're in a really exciting time right now. All right, Owen Daniel is going to join us, former Houston Texans tight end, Denver Broncos tight end, coming up next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Earlier in the show today, we were talking about Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, we've been buzzing about the new quarterbacks in the league who kind of stepped in. And some of them who did really well enough to make you kind of excited if you're a fan of those particular teams. But, of course, Patrick Mahomes is the reigning MVP, and he's off to another fantastic start. And I just don't want him to be overlooked. But the Athletic Kansas City threw out a tweet yesterday that I thought was a little hilarious. They made a comparison to Troy Aikman. And it made Troy Aikman a little salty on Twitter. The Athletic Kansas City put out a tweet that said, Patrick Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games. And Aikman tweeted back, talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles, which is a great response, by the way. It's a good response. Those are fun statistics, but they're irrelevant statistics. And I don't think they're just neat to point out, but they don't really have any real value, right? We're talking about Troy Aikman playing in a totally different time of the National Football League. Plus, he had Emmitt Smith, a Hall of Fame running back. There was a lot of different ways Dallas moved the ball. And Andy Reid in this current Kansas City offense in this current NFL throws the ball a lot more. That's the way the league is sort of heading. You know, we talk about this a lot with running backs. When we talked to Emmitt Smith about this when he was on the show, said, look, there seems to be a devaluation of running backs. You know, yes, Ezekiel Elliott got paid. Yes, Todd Gurley gets paid. but there seems to be a little bit more emphasis on wide receivers. As you know, obviously the emphasis is on quarterbacking and whatnot, but the game is centered towards the passing. And that's just the way it is right now. And so on the one hand, I think the stat is fun. It's kind of cute. It's neat. And I'm glad Troy Aikman responded the way he did. Now, people saying that he's mad at Patrick Mahomes. He's not mad at Patrick Mahomes. He was directing a tweet at the writers of that. And by the way, I like it when these guys respond to something like that to remind us how good they were, right? Troy Aikman's won 3 Super Bowl championships. Mahomes, you know, I think he'll eventually get them. But if Dan Marino didn't get a title, I won't guarantee a title to anybody. Okay, that's my rule in my life. All right, since Dan Marino never got a Super Bowl championship, I will never, ever go down that road of guaranteeing that an athlete, a quarterback, will get a Super Bowl. I will never fall in that trap again where, oh, no, you know, it's just a matter of time before Patrick Mahomes gets that Super Bowl. I have no idea. And as long as Dan Marino didn't get one, I'm not promising that to anybody, ever. So I just back off a little bit on that. I think he'll get some. I got a feeling he'll get some. We asked this question about the Super Bowl Monday, where we said, all right, it's Monday after the Super Bowl. We got to title it something. It can't just be the day after Super Bowl Day. So Big Mac on Twitter, Super Monday after the Super Bowl. All right, I can live with that. The holiday of Super Monday, I can live with that. It's not, let's not disguise that day as something else. You know, like we've done this thing now where the day after Thanksgiving is a holiday and we just go, yeah, it's Black Friday. We don't even know what to call it.
Well,
it's just Thanksgiving
weekend.
We turned
it into a shopping day.
Right. We just made it a shopping day. It's just a holiday now that we went, yeah, it's part of Thanksgiving weekend, but it's not quite Thanksgiving, but it's Black Friday. Yeah, that's it. We'll just name it that. No. Call it Super Monday. That's, and just say, hey, listen, guys, it's the day after the Super Bowl and we're all taking the day off except for government workers and essential personnel.
I think we need more pizzazz than Super Monday.
You need more pop?
Yeah, because don't we? I mean, we have a Super
Pink
Tuesday.
Pigskin Monday?
Isn't Super Tuesday? Isn't that like voting day?
That is a Super Tuesday is the day where like a lot of states go into primaries.
Okay, yeah.
So, right? They're like, I think it's like all in, a lot of them in the South. And it's one big day where it's like, my God, there's like 10 states, 11 states, maybe even more than that now, that have the primary all on the same day.
What if we called it Case of the Mondays?
Ooh, that's not bad.
Because that's one Monday where we all seem to have a case of the Mondays.
Oh, that's right. That's true. That's true. You could have Hallmark make out cards and maybe some after-school specials or something like that based on that holiday. Cartoons, a Rankin-Bass cartoon describing the tradition of, you know, Case of the Mondays. That'd be great. But I know the feeling. I mean, yeah, we kind of, you know, it's... I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the Super Bowl was in the afternoon. Now it's, you know, it's become more a primetime event. So you get more people going, oh, God, I got to get up in the morning and go back to work. All right. So let's go to our Progressive Insurance Hotline and Progressive. Buy and save on home insurance with Progressive and the new home quote only at progressive.com. Former Houston Texans tight end, former Denver Broncos tight end and Super Bowl champion Owen Daniels joins us on SB Nation Radio. How are you, sir?
Morning, guys. I'm doing well.
Good. And he's coming to us, brought to you by Crown Royal. They're back this football season with the Crown Royal Water Break, a movement that encourages football fans to stay in the game by drinking responsibly and in moderation, whether it's at the bar, home, or in a tailgate. Take a time out between cocktails for a Crown Royal Water Break to create more of an enjoyable game day experience. Where are you going to be Sunday? Because it says you're going to be at a Boulevard Fan Fest.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right there. Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, first of all, obviously, I know the importance of staying hydrated. So, you know, teaming up with Crown Royal to encourage off-field water breaks so fans can enjoy the game for, you know, for themselves throughout the game and for the people around them, obviously, is really important. And I will be at the game this Sunday at the Crown Royal Hydration Station at the Boulevard Fan Fest. So stop on by. I'll be there, hand out water for a couple hours, and interacted with all the fans. So it was a good time when I did that last year, and I'm looking forward to it again this year.
So I got to ask you about this. We got 3 weeks into the NFL season, and eight quarterbacks started on Sunday that were not the original intent of teams when training camp opened. Overall, how did you assess all of that? How did you assess some of the younger guys that played on Sunday?
I didn't realize that's a third of the team. That's pretty
right.
Crazy. you know, obviously there's a lot of talent out there, and especially that guy, Allen for the Panthers, did a heck of a job. You know, it's always interesting to see, you know, the next guy step up and have an opportunity to play and make a name for themselves. So I always pull for those guys who aren't necessarily expected to be playing but are in there and try to make a name for themselves.
You were on the Broncos team that won the Super Bowl, but during that year, there was Peyton Manning's injury, and he was out, and Brock Osweiler came in, and then there was a wonderment among fans and media. What's going to happen here? Is Brock going to have to give – what was the team – what were you guys going through as a team when Manning was on the bench and wondering, is he going to come back, or how long do we ride Brock Osweiler for? As players, did you concern yourself about any of that? I mean, I don't – what was the mindset of that?
Well, yeah, I think as a player, we try to only worry about what we can control and really just support the guy that's in there. Obviously, you want one of the greatest of all time in there playing quarterback whenever he can be if he's healthy, right? But we played 7 games with Brock, and I think he went 5-2 with us. He did a heck of a job. You know, the coaches put a really good, simple game plan together for him. We're in there, and really luckily for us that season, we had a heck of a defense who could keep us in games, and we didn't have to score a ton of points as long as we could protect the ball, which Brock did a really, really good job that year in Denver doing, just waiting for Peyton to come back. And, you know, obviously in the playoffs experience, makes a huge difference. So having him back for that and healthy for that run was really, really important.
Yeah, did you guys notice that at the time? Like, he didn't blow away anybody statistically during the playoffs, but he also, until the Super Bowl, didn't turn the ball over either. Did you sense that, boy, the experience is really shining through in these postseason games?
Yeah, you know, he made plays when he had to make plays. He made, you know, great throws when he had to make them. We kept drives alive when we had to. And like I said, man, hey, having a defense, you know, hold teams to probably, you know, 2 scores a game at the most, leading up to the Super Bowl, getting turnovers, getting scores on defense, you know, that always helps the team. That's what you need when it comes to playoff time.
And you caught his last touchdown pass, right? I mean, you were the last one to catch a touchdown pass from Peyton Manning.
I guess technically, yeah. His last
Benny Fowler's got the extra point, right?
Yeah, Benny Fowler has the last catch that was a score, I guess, technically. He had a 2-point conversion there. And I don't know how that all works out because I guess, you know, playoff touchdowns don't really count on your total touchdown stuff. But, the playoff stats, it matters to me. I feel like those are the most important ones, honestly.
Sure. Did you give him the ball back or do you still have it somewhere?
It's around somewhere. He deserves it, though. That's
yeah.
Sure.
Can I ask you a quick question? The personality that we see on TV, is he like that in the locker room?
Oh, man. So, yeah, the guy you see on the Nationwide commercials,
yeah,
that sense of humor, that, like, kind of, like, simple, easy camaraderie, like, just makes you feel comfortable watching him on TV, that's exactly how he is. He's the man.
All right, so if you misran a route or miscommunicated with him, how would he direct his displeasure at you?
He would probably just come and ask me what I was thinking or what I was running on that play and let me figure it out on my own.
Okay.
Screwed up.
and there's no Peyton Manning death stare or anything?
Unless you kind of like, he's kind of a guy, he wants to help guys out. He wants to help guys get better. And he's understanding with mistakes and is mindful of, you know, the game of football is difficult. But I think if you keep on making the same mistake over and over again, he'll just probably stop talking to you or stop trying to help.
If you were to venture a guess in his next career move, would you think he'd make a good coach or is he a better broadcaster? Or where do you think his personality and intelligence lie in terms of the next career step?
Well, the thing that he's doing right now at Peyton's Places, I think, is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
his love for the history of the game is shining through there. But I think he'd be a great front office guy or owner of a team. Honestly, guy that would run an organization and have things done his way. Coaching, I don't know, maybe broadcasting. I think that would just be not quite enough for him. I think he would be like really involved in the team somehow, some way.
I do. I kind of ask a lot of you guys, the guys who played and now, you know, kind of look back and have a complete career. Would you have wanted at any point in your season, would you have been okay at any point if the league had played 18 games?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just for a lot of reasons, honestly. You know, obviously it's two more weeks on the body and, you know, you'd hope that you'd get, you know, two more weeks of pay out of that. But also it kind of dilutes the season a little bit. The more games you play, the less meaningful each game is. And what's great about the league right now and how it's been for some, you know, for such a long time is that, man, there's 16 games. Every single game is super, super, super important. So, and I think that's what a lot of people love about football, that every week really, really matters.
Owen Daniels joining us, former NFL tight end, and again brought to you by Crown Royal. He will be at the Boulevard Fan Fest. What city will you be in, Owen?
Oh, we're in Houston.
Houston, excellent.
Houston Texans home game. So anyone listening here in Houston, Crown Royal Hydration Station, yeah, Boulevard Fan Fest. It was an awesome turnout last year. You know, a lot of fans were like, oh, wait a second. What are you doing here? Super surprised to see me. So, I'm sure there'll be some surprise fans again, but it was a great time.
That is a great, great thing. And I know, I think we've done this with you before, so I'm glad you're able to stop by again, my friend. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Owen Daniels, again, brought to you by Crown Royal, reminding you to stay hydrated, whether you're at the bar, home, or tailgating. Take a time out between cocktails for a Crown Royal water break to create more enjoyable game day experience. That was on our Progressive Insurance Highline. And again, for a home or auto quote, visit them at progressive.com today. All right, I want to get to some things that Owen Daniels said about Peyton Manning when we come back next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, one out of four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the perfect Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, an owner or a general manager is where Owen Daniels thinks Peyton Manning would be best served in the next step of the NFL career. I don't think he'd be a good coach. People always talk about how cerebral he is. I don't think he could. Whoa. I think he would be a guy that is too smart to be a teacher. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, we just heard what happened. But if Owen Daniels said if he ran the wrong route,
yeah,
Manning didn't coach him, he would say, okay, what'd you do?
Yeah. Figure it out.
What were you thinking?
Right. I think it takes a different type of individual to be able to teach. Like sometimes, I don't know, I think of like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. Remember where he does that advanced math formula?
Yeah.
And he like goes, I'm sorry, this is so easy for me, right? It's just, I think Manning has that level where, I mean, he could learn to do it, but I think he's also so cerebral and so intelligent in the game that I don't know if he can present that and say, all right, see what I see. This is how
exactly.
I see it.
Yeah, I think when you're that intelligent at a certain subject, it's going to be hard for you to teach that to someone who doesn't have that capability.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to end up getting frustrated with them.
There are these online classes now, like Masterclass, I think, and there's another one where they get famous people to teach you stuff, right? Like Gordon Ramsay will teach you how to cook, and Phil Ivey will teach you poker, and you know that kind of thing. I would love to see a series. They have one on Steph Curry basketball, and I would love to see Peyton Manning on football, just to hear him yap about different things about the NFL and playing at that high level. Even if I didn't understand a lot of it, and I've been around the game a long time, so I think I'd be okay. But I'm sure there's a million things I would be like, "Whoa, my God! I didn't even see that. I didn't know that," because he's that smart. But I'm glad to hear that his personality is the way he is in real life, because sometimes it isn't the case. Sometimes that's but he is so good. He's such a natural communicator and a natural ease of an individual, right? I'm glad he was like that. But that was a really bizarre year for the Broncos, that year that he was on the championship team. Just a great defense that was helping out an offense that was still going back and forth with the with Peyton Manning being hurt and ineffective and Brock Osweiler being effective and then not, and then Manning coming in and taking over and then running through the playoffs and, you know, narrowly beating Pittsburgh and then narrowly beating New England and then getting to the Super Bowl and beating out the Carolina Panthers and using real defense to do so. The offense wasn't exactly ripping through the Carolina Panthers, but the defense certainly was. But that was a unique year to watch Manning's final season. Now, if you're Owen Daniels and you have that football somewhere, would you seriously give that last touchdown back to Peyton Manning?
No.
I'd keep it for my greedy, selfish self.
Yeah. That's the one that goes on top of the mantle.
Right. I'd make him want it.
Maybe you have your first one. You know, and
first NFL catch?
Yeah, your first NFL touchdown.
Right.
You have that on your mantle. Well, he only went to one Super Bowl, right? Yeah, because he's with the Texans. So he never won.
So
maybe if you have a game-winning catch, I guess.
Right, right.
But that's the Super Bowl one as well. Is it game-winning? Well, it wasn't game-winning, but it was the last touchdown pass. I would hold it ransom, invite Manning over.
Showcase it above the fireplace?
Yeah.
And just be like, what's that? And you're like, oh, yeah, no. Well, this is the...
Some football.
Last one I caught in Denver. Last one you threw, Denver. Just saying, Peyton. Benny Fowler, he's right. Benny Fowler at the Super Bowl caught the last scoring pass, but it was a two-point conversion.
Yeah, doesn't count.
It's not a touchdown.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. And he did say something weird. He said playoff touchdowns don't count in your statistics. Yeah, that's true, but it does. It counts in our heart. Oh, and it counts in our heart. That was the last one he threw.
Then that's what you AFC title game. I mean, he was kind of playing it off like, well, it wasn't really me. And you're like, no. It's a big deal.
It was in the AFC championship game against the Patriots. And he scored twice. That was a 20-18 game. That was a game. I'll never forget that game because all of Tom Brady's remarkable accomplishments, I mean, and he's got a million of them, all of the things he's done up until that point. Now, this is before the comeback in the Super Bowl against the Falcons, and this is before winning the Super Bowl last year, right? I thought one of the greatest losing performances I've ever seen him play was that game to the Broncos. The Broncos beat that man into the ground.
Yes.
And he kept coming. They hit him, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 28 times.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that game probably took a year away from his career.
Probably.
I mean, now he can only play to 45. Before exactly. That, he could have gone to 46.
Maybe even 50. But the Broncos buried this guy. I mean, buried this guy. And he kept getting up, and he kept slinging that football. They were a two-point conversion away from tying that game that, to be honest with you, defensively, the Broncos were just crushing this quarterback. Any other quarterback, that game would have been over quick. And Brady kept getting up. And Manning, I'm still amazed Manning could be chucking the ball around like he did in that game. But Tom Brady showed me everything. I mean, I think it's the best losing effort I've ever seen him play in. I mean, the best losing game I've ever seen from a quarterback, because it was an onslaught, and he had a two. I mean, I thought at the end of the game, as good as Broncos defense was, I thought he was going to get it. I thought he was going to get the 2-point conversion, and we were going to head into overtime. Because I was saying to myself, I said, this is too much of a story. Somehow he's still in this game, and they missed a kick early in that game. They missed an extra point early in that game that caused them to have to go for two to tie up that game. Otherwise, that game would have gone overtime. And if he had pulled that off with as many injuries as that team had, that would have been one of those incredible performances in a playoff by a quarterback, as much as he was hitting that game. All right, we'll continue with our NFL talk next. We'll be right back.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. One of the intriguing stories early in the season is the start of the Buffalo Bills, 3-0, albeit against three teams that have a combined win total of one, but still, who are the Buffalo Bills? How well are they playing as they've got this matchup with the Patriots coming up on Sunday? So we go back to our Progressive Insurance Hotline. And again, Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's Progressive. Visit them, progressive.com today. Chris DiPrasso joins us from CBS Sports to talk some Buffalo Bills. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, again, 3-0, off to a really great start. Given the competition, though, is this surprising that they're 3-0? I mean, those three teams combined win of one, but how surprising is it they're off to a 3-0 start?
Yeah, not super surprising. I mean, this was a team that, although they did go 6-10 last year, had kind of an underrated but very strong defense. The number two pass defense last year was very good up front, and they brought back 10 of 11 starters. And the starter that they lost, Kyle Williams, was a leader, a captain, had been a really good defensive tackle for a long time in Buffalo. They replaced him with Ed Oliver. So we knew the defense was going to be good. They weren't facing a lot of great quarterbacks early on, Sam Darnold, then Eli Manning, then Andy Dalton. But the fact that Josh Allen on the offensive side, who last year as a rookie, the first half of the season did not look like an NFL quarterback. The last half of the year after his injury, he showed some flashes, but still was very raw. He is throwing with more poise, with more comfort, and more accuracy inside the pocket early. And a lot of these games, they were down in the fourth quarter to the Bengals after getting out to a big lead. A lot of those games in the past, the Bills ultimately lose that game, and it's deflating that they lost a lead and they come back from the big win or from the big deficit in week one against the Jets. Those are things that old Bills teams usually did not do. And, you know, you like to see the blowout. They kind of cruise to the win against the Giants on the road in week two. But to have those two contests against, yes, lesser opponents, but where they had to kind of come from behind late in the game, I think that's a sign of this team overall on offense and defense really improving under Sean McDermott.
Go back to Allen, because I love the confidence that he displays, and I like the moxie. I like the fact that he can run, but in this NFL, they don't really want you running as much. Has he throttled that back a little bit, or is that still a very effective weapon that he utilizes?
He's kind of throttled it down a little bit through three games. I think in those comeback efforts, especially on some third down, when he hasn't really been able to find someone wide open, he has resorted to his legs. But you watch, they came out this season against the Jets and only ran the ball one time in the first half, which everyone thought, hey, the Bills are going to run it 500 times. They're barely going to throw. Josh Allen, being in his second year under offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, with so much turnover at that offensive coordinator position across the league, even for some young quarterbacks. I mean, Baker Mayfield's on his third offensive coordinator in less than two seasons. Josh Allen is really taking advantage of that. The additions of Cole Beasley have been big, and John Brown, he's seeing receivers open a lot more than he did last year. So the leg element is still there, running the football, scrambling, and sometimes he kind of has to throttle that back even more. But he's definitely been more poised and been willing to throw from inside the pocket.
Chris DiPrasso joins us, CBS Sports. We talk Buffalo Bills, big game against the Patriots coming up this weekend. Both teams are 3-0. Let me ask you this from a standpoint of where the Bills were. They went to the playoffs a couple of years ago, and then they kind of said, look, in order for us to have be competitive down the road, we're going to make a lot of adjustments, and we're going to change some things, and we're going to get rid of some big contracts. And obviously the proof is in the pudding when you're 3-0, but the larger picture, Chris, is that plan working in areas that they wanted it to work in?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I think it has, because getting rid of contracts for Sammy Watkins, for Marcell Dareus, that had a huge extension that they got off their books for this season, it allowed Brandon Bean, their general manager, he didn't make a ton of huge splashy signings in free agency, but they brought in six offensive linemen in free agency after having one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. That group hasn't fully gelled yet, but it certainly played better for Josh Allen, for the running game, to bring in Cole Beasley and John Brown, a tight end, some role players on defense. I think having that cap space, and they were kind of cap strapped when Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean started in Buffalo, and they were in that situation where they were coming off the playoff win, but they thought, we probably reached our ceiling here at 9-7 and almost overachieved in that year that they did make the playoffs, which was good for this organization because they hadn't made the playoffs in 18 seasons at that point. But they realized, hey, we need to aim for higher than 9-7 and losing in the wild card round. And having that extra money and then, you know, having a ton of draft picks by trading Tyrod Taylor, a few other pieces, allowed them to trade up to get Josh Allen, allowed them to trade up to get Tremaine Edmonds. So those are two key pieces on both sides of the football. And they just had the finances to bring in not a splashy free agent, but a lot of players to plug in all across the roster.
I'm sure if I asked every player, if they were to lose to the Patriots in a close game, and I asked every player, they'd all say, no, we wanted to win, we're disappointed, etc. They'd give us the standard line. But if they play the Patriots close, is there currency there for the rest of the season? Is there a level of confidence that kicks in? They've lost 7 straight home games to the Patriots.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the fans would be pretty upset. Although right now, like you're mentioning, if you ask a player or any fan in Buffalo, hey, would you want a game where the Bills, you know, stick with the Patriots but ultimately lose? I think it would be kind of deflating in a way because there have been so many games in this era of dominance that Tom Brady's had over Buffalo where the Bills have played well on defense, have made some splashy plays on the offensive side, but just haven't been able to do enough.
Yeah.
But I think this team realizes that playing up to the competition after beating lesser competition would be a good sign moving forward that the Patriots definitely, I think by a wide margin, are the best team left on their schedule. They play the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's probably a pretty tough test too. But just to say, hey, we can play with the upper echelon in the AFC, I think would be a really good sign for this team.
Frank Gore, he's 36. How, 3 games in, how's he looking?
He's not the fastest running back in the league, I'll say that. But his vision has not subsided whatsoever. That they've used him, obviously, mostly between the tackles. And watching the film from the all-22 angle from the end zone, you see him making cuts a split second before blocks are really opening up holes for him in the middle. And that's why I think he's been able to be such a successful running back and have this longevity, is that he's just a natural runner, that he's not blind to a backside cutting lane. He takes what's there. He's actually run the football very well. Yes, there's been some stuffs at the line. There's been some 2-yard gains, but against the Bengals, he broke off a couple 8, 9, 10-yard gains, and it wasn't because of his burst, of his speed. It was because he just knows where to cut and make it really hard for defenders to get their hands on him.
Chris, I'm fascinated with the city of Buffalo and in this regard. I always envision it as cold, right? Just cold and just this miserable weather. And yet, almost to a man, people love living there. They love living in that area. Players say they stay there. They didn't want to go there, and then they get there, and then they never want to leave. Is there – what is it? I mean, what am I missing in a city that great? What are the players feeling that I'm missing?
I think it's a city, and I live in Western New York, so I can really tell you about this. It gives players a sense of community that you don't get in a New York City or even in a Philadelphia or certainly not in a Los Angeles. That, yes, you get the limelight there. You get a lot more publicity being on the national stage. But it's almost like a small town of the NFL. It's similar to Green Bay in that, you know, fans know the backup defensive tackle. They know their faces. If you see them in public, it's not just another face in the crowd. So I think that's what players ultimately end up liking about Buffalo. And it was 85 on Sunday, and it's going to be warm again this Sunday. So, yes, there will be that blizzard game. There'll be some cold games in November and December. But that's really the case for, what, half or maybe two-thirds of the league on the East Coast? That's football weather. So, yes, there'll be maybe more games that have more snow in Buffalo, but the first couple months of the year, the weather's fine. It's certainly very hot in the summer. So I think you get that small sense of community, that small town feel in Buffalo. And I think in general, not that it's totally wrong, the whole weather that, you know, there's snow year-round. It's just totally not true.
Yeah, gotcha. Chris Trapasso joins us, CBS Sports. Bouncing around the league a bit, again, this is a theme we've been talking about pretty much all week, is just this astonishment about how many quarterbacks played on Sunday that were not the original intent of the teams when training camp began. We counted eight that were playing, including Jacoby Brissett, but seven who had to come in relief efforts. Overall, though, when you look at that, Kyle Allen, Daniel Jones, the success of those of the players, some of the players that have come in to just show that they can play. What did you make of Daniel Jones, for example? What did you make of Kyle Allen?
I thought they had similar performances. I was very impressed with just how poised they were just to come into their first start, especially Kyle Allen. I mean, being an undrafted free agent to just be thrown on the field in a road game, and certainly Arizona's defense is probably not going to be one of the better units in the league. But it didn't look too big for him, and I really liked what both offensive coordinators did. Daniel Jones probably threw a few more short passes than Kyle Allen, but they got the ball out quickly. Kyle Allen threw to Greg Olsen a lot when he was in man coverage, and I think that's what you want to do as a young quarterback. If you have that, you know, top-end tight end, that's going to be your best friend early on. The one thing for both of them that I think needs to get better, and it's what we saw from them in college, they need to move better inside the pocket. There was a stretch in the second half for Daniel Jones. You're not seeing this on the highlight reels this week, where on two straight possessions, he got sacked on five straight plays. A couple were strip sacks, didn't move up in the pocket, didn't feel pressure. Kyle Allen did the same thing. He was strip sacked against the Cardinals by Chandler Jones. So I think very impressive, very encouraging starts because of the accuracy, short intermediate levels, and both made a few good throws down the field as well. But they need, as defenses can start to game plan for them, they need to be able to make those throws under pressure, because that's really what separates a good quarterback from a great one.
Chris, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. I know it's a big game coming up on Sunday for a Bills Mafia, and I appreciate your insight into what Buffalo's been doing so far.
All right, thanks a lot.
You got it. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, on the 3-0 Buffalo Bills. Exciting game. I think there is some currency if they hang with the Patriots. I just don't. They'll never say it because they never do. Yeah, they never go. The one closest I ever saw an athlete that almost was, I don't know how best to describe the emotion, but I'll never forget Jim Harbaugh when he was the Indianapolis Colts quarterback, and they went to the AFC title game against the Steelers. And the Steelers, again, they like the Chargers before. The year before, we're supposed to throttle them at Three Rivers Stadium. And like the Chargers the year before, Indianapolis just kept hanging around, a little too dangerous, hanging around. And if you remember that, it was mid-90s. If you remember that game, Harbaugh threw a Hail Mary into the end zone. And his receiver, whose name escapes me at the moment, but the receiver had it. I think it was Aaron Bailey. Had the ball, and just for a split second, and then it got loose from him as he was falling down, and he lost the ball and was incomplete. But he had it. He had it for a split second. It actually hit him enough that he could have gotten possession of it. It would have been a touchdown, and the Colts would have went to the Super Bowl. And after the game, they interviewed Harbaugh about it, and he thought Peter McNeely was going to come out, but Mike Tyson came out instead, something along those lines. And he did it with a smile, almost to say, like, you know what? We showed up today. We were not supposed to play with this team, but we showed up and almost won this game, rather than just the, no, we should have won. I don't know why we didn't win, blah, 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 blah. But most players will not feel like there's a moral victory. They don't like that term, but overall, I think there would be a kick if Buffalo were to hang tight with the Patriots on Sunday. All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, with football season here, get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus reward On your first deposit, start betting on your favorite pro or college team. Get the fastest odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, Bet Online. Heck, you can even bet on who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser. Head on over to Bet Online and use your mobile device to join today. Use the promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55 to get your 50% welcome bonus. Get into the all the action today with Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so I want to believe in this Buffalo team. I'm obviously going to believe in the Patriots. I mean, I think the Patriots continue to win. But I think if you're looking to try to make a push towards the postseason and 9-10 wins put you in the conversation, oh my God, you're already three quarters there with the first three wins of the year. And again, you know, you still got the Titans and the Dolphins on your schedule. You got the Dolphins twice on your schedule. All right, I mean, listen, it does get a little tougher with the Patriots again and Dallas and... But you got the Broncos. I mean, you know, this. I don't know. Sorry, they don't have the Broncos. My apologies. They have the Ravens. That's tough. Oh, no, they do have the Broncos. Play them at home in November. So, hey, listen, if you're trying to get 9 wins, you already got 3 in the books after 3 weeks. You're getting close. Getting close to put that team in position to make a postseason push. And like I said, that's got to be the expectation, right? It can't just be. They're not a Super Bowl or bust kind of team. So, one team I am worried about this weekend is Tennessee. They're taking on the Atlanta Falcons. If Marcus Mariota loses, there's already a buzz here in Nashville about benching him for Ryan Tannehill. And if that's the case, and Tannehill plays well, then Mariota's got a future of bouncing around this league. A once franchise savior. Another story bouncing around the league. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.